Chapter 3. One that loved not wisely, but too well. Shakespeare, Othello. His bed in the police cell was a blanket on a cement floor. Not that it mattered very much. He would not have slept that first night on any surface. Ever since he was a little boy, he had lived in fear of criminals. Now he knew what it felt like to be one. Worse was to come the next morning, Friday, February 15. When he was driven in a police convoy to a court in the centre of Pretoria, where he appeared before a magistrate who confirmed what he knew was coming. It took no more than 5 minutes for the magistrate to announce that the state would be charging him with premeditated murder. At the word murder, he broke into wild sobs. His sister, Amy, who was sitting directly behind him with his uncle and other family members, put her hands to her face and wept. As for bail, the state opposed it, and a hearing would be held at which a different magistrate would decide the matter the following Tuesday. The name of the bail magistrate was Desmond Nair. Of Indian descent, which would have precluded him from occupying any judicial post under apartheid, he was highly experienced and respected. Magistrates and judges possess enormous power in South Africa, where the jury system does not exist. In theory, they are supposed to perform their roles with the coldest impartiality. But that does not stop both defense and prosecution lawyers from paying close scrutiny to their backgrounds in the hope of finding some vulnerability that might help swing a verdict. Pistorius's defense lawyers clutched at what they thought might be grounds for optimism in a remarkable case from 2011 in which Nair had presided over the bail hearing. At the center of that case was an Afrikaner rugby player called Beas Roux, who was arrested and charged with murder for beating a black policeman to death. At a pre-trial meeting, attended by Roux and his lawyer, as well as the state prosecutor and the brother and wife of the victim, Roux expressed sincerest regret and explained what had happened. He had imagined that the policeman, whom he had encountered at night, had planned to rob him, possibly kill him. An exceptionally large man, Roux struck the policeman with force, knocking him unconscious. He sought to revive him, Roux said, but it was too late. In tears, Roux apologized to the policeman's relatives.